I'm Simin Yohaki. This Saturday will mark the 75th anniversary of the Social Security Program. Coming up, Kate talks to Kathy Picali of the Older Women's League about why women in particular need to be worried about moves to abolish or limit Social Security payments.
If you get most of your news from Rachel Maddow, the way I do, then you know that the Tea Parties are always railing about Social Security. On one hand, the Democrats are raiding Social Security to pay for their wanton spending, and on the other, Social Security is the leading edge of creeping socialism. This Saturday, August 14th, is the 75th birthday of Social Security, and some organizations in our community thought that was a good time to find out the truth about Social Security. Social Security is especially important for women, as my guest, Kathy Picali, will tell us. Kathy has had three careers since she was 40. First, she was a public school teacher in San Francisco. Later, she taught community classes about menopause and women's health. And she now works on many aspects of quality of life for midlife and older women as president of the San Francisco chapter of the Older Women's League. Kathy, welcome to Women's Magazine.
Thank you very much.
So let's start with your organization. I think that OWL is probably one of the lesser known of the national women's organizations.
Okay.
Tell us what that group is, when and how it got started, and what you do.
Okay. It was started as the Older Women's League in 1980. It's a national organization which has chapters throughout the United States. Our three main goals are in healthcare. We have been advocates for single payer while looking at realities. The second is financial security. And of course, it's in this, under this umbrella that Social Security would fall. And the third is quality of life, which is most everything else that makes life best for women who are midlife and older.
So where does Social Security fit in terms of quality of life for women?
For women, Social Security is particularly important. It is important because they're bigger consumers of it. At 62, which is the first age you can start taking Social Security, 59%, and by the time you reach 85, 69% of the enrollees or the beneficiaries are women. It's important because they reach retirement poorer than men. That is because, of course, there's been pay inequality. Also, it's because they've taken time out of the workforce for caregiving. There are other reasons that have caused women to get to the age of retirement with less in pension and savings than men. So they enter Social Security with fewer other resources to help them. At the same time, of course, women get less Social Security than men do. I mean, the average payout for Social Security is about $13,000 a year. Women, on average, get about $11,000.
Why are people attacking Social Security right now?
This is truly a mystery to me. In an effort to balance the federal budget, there's an effort to cut Social Security, and I don't entirely understand why. Social Security has been running a surplus for years. This year, it is not running a surplus, but built in, of course, with the surpluses before, so that Social Security will be good until 2037 for payouts as they are now. After 2037, they would only be able to pay out 75% of the amount that is owed to people unless there were fixes, which there need to be. They're not going to, in the long run, save enough money to handle the deficit, which has really been created by wars and Wall Street favors.
Tell us a little, if you would, about the history of Social Security. I think there's a lot of misunderstandings about where Social Security comes from in the first place, who pays into it, who's eligible for it, and also who created it and why.
Social Security was founded really as part of the New Deal in the 30s. Both the employer and the employee pay into it 6.2%. So that is a total of 12.4%. It was intended and is intended to be an insurance program. It insures families when the breadwinner, as it were, dies or is disabled. But the primary, two-thirds of it is used for retirement benefits for people who have been employed in the workforce and have paid into it. I think that's an important point because people seem to look at Social Security as the word entitlement confuses people because it's not something you didn't earn. In fact, you have paid into Social Security. The benefits that you get are payback, essentially, for what you have paid in. 62 is the earliest age at which you can take Social Security. And if you begin Social Security at 62, there is a gradual lessening of the total amount that you get paid each month. There is an increasing age in place. People who were born in 64 will only be able to retire when they reach 67. There's been a gradual increase. People think of Social Security as a thing that you are receiving when you are 65, but it could also, is now at 66, and it will be in the future at 67.
You said that earlier that Social Security would be able to continue paying out at the current rates until 2037, I think, and after that would only be able to pay 75%. Now, that's not a lot of time.
That's right. And what needs to happen now is not to take away from Social Security, but to build it so that it will be there for people in full after 2037. There are a number of ways it can be rebuilt. I think the simplest way is to increase the cap. Right now, people only pay Social Security on income up to $106,000 a year. If that were raised so that people paid Social Security on higher amounts, there would not be decreasing amount available in 2037. Some people also advocate putting money in from the estate tax.
I think there's a widespread perception, both on the right and the left, that Social Security is already gone. At least I hear a lot from my friends who are all very progressive. Oh, Social Security is already gone. It's not going to be there for me when I retire. So there's no real point in doing anything about it. And then on the right, you certainly hear this thing, this sort of mantra that they have of there's nothing there but IOUs. What's the truth about the money? What actually happens to the money that we pay out of our check?
Okay, the money that is in the Social Security Fund is collected by the government and invested in U.S. Treasury bonds, which are about the safest investment there is. They have borrowed from it, but Treasury bonds have to be repaid. I mean, in terms of people, younger people not getting Social Security, I think that it is really critical that we preserve Social Security. They can't take it away if people say, we've got to keep it. They can take it away if people say, oh, it's already gone. So it behooves you to get out there and join our birthday party on August 14th. The other thing, of course, that you should do is be in contact with your legislators. Let them know that you want Social Security to be preserved and to be there for you.
So let's actually talk about who is doing what in terms of Social Security in Congress right now? Who is attacking it on a legislative level and who has bills to counter that or to enact some of the fixes that you've talked about?
To make a long story short, there was a commission appointed a number of months ago by President Obama, and it's called the Commission for Fiscal Responsibility. They have made it very well known that Social Security is going to be one of the first places they look to balance the budget. There are some people on that commission who will defend Social Security. There are many people on the commission who would clearly like to get rid of it. That commission will make its report at the beginning of December after the elections, and it will not be debated. There will be simply an up or down vote on what they recommend.
So what is really likely to happen in terms of the actions that Obama Commission are likely to recommend? Are we talking about abolishing Social Security? Are we talking about privatization? Are we talking about raising the retirement age?
Well, I think they would certainly like to privatize parts of it. But however, Social Security is a very, very popular program. People like it. People like it even more after the economic decline. I think what is most likely to be recommended is increasing the age where you get Social Security. And the way that would probably be done is that the age would be increased so that it wouldn't really affect the people that get Social Security now. It would affect people who are younger. So I think this is something to watch out for. This is increasing the age is a cut, flat out. I mean, and there are two major problems with increasing the age that I see. The first is that some people simply are doing physical labor and they can't keep doing it when they reach their late 60s. I mean, if you're a farm worker or a nurse or a teacher even, it becomes very difficult. So it discriminates against those people. I mean, it's easier to work longer if you have a desk job. The second is that people can't get jobs or a lot of times keep jobs when they're into their 60s. People who are in their 60s are often the first people who are fired because they are expensive.
You were talking about farm workers, and that reminded me that just the other day there was a letter in the San Francisco Chronicle. It was in the business section from someone who was saying, my mother-in-law is getting Social Security and she never worked in her life. She never worked here. And that whole family are immigrants and they never worked. And I know a lot of undocumented immigrants who are collecting Social Security. What's the truth about undocumented workers and Social Security?
I think the truth is that most undocumented workers pay into the system, but in fact do not receive Social Security benefits.
Because you have to have a Social Security card and
right,
you can't
right,
get one if you're not a legal resident.
Right.
So you said earlier that most women or the average woman is taking $11,000.
Yes, and you got to remember, of course, when there's an average, some people are getting a lot less than that. I was just reading last night about an 86-year-old African-American woman who was living on $600 a month. Social Security was never intended to be the only income that retired people have. It was really one leg of a three-legged stool. It was supposed to include pensions and savings. But since a lot of women don't have savings or pensions are declining, and furthermore, a lot of women have not been in positions where they got pensions.
I mean, you can't really live on $11,000 a year. You certainly can't in this area, and yet a lot of women are completely dependent on Social Security for their retirement. So how are people living?
I mean, a lot of people are living close to the edge. I mean, you hear all the time about people having to make choices between medication and food.
So tell us about the event that you all are having.
On the 14th, I hope that you will all come out, but we're having a big birthday party for Social Security. It will be at 7th and Mission at the Federal Building from 11 to 1. We will have bands and balloons, and it's not clear to me what legislators will be there. All the local legislators have been invited, and at least their staffs will be there.
And if people want more information about the Older Women's League, how can they get that?
Our website in San Francisco is owlsf.org. And the National, which is the organization that's done a great deal of work on Social Security, is owl-national.org.
My guest has been Kathy Piccali. She's the president of the San Francisco chapter of the Older Women's League. We've been talking about the 75th birthday of Social Security and the threat that that very popular and necessary program is under. Kathy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
For more information about saving Social Security and the birthday party on Saturday, call 415-215-7575. Or visit our website at kpfawomensmag.blogspot.com, where we will have a link to a petition and information on the event.